Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny, May 30th, 2023. We are happy to be with you, refreshed, batteries recharged after a nice, long, juicy three-day weekend. Should let you know that EJ Raddick of NHL Media and NHL Network will be on the show today at 6. We will ask him about the brand new head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. Very excited about the hire. This was my number one option and candidate for them. We'll get into that in just a couple of moments. Danny, you look like you got a little sun.
We did a little bit.
How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. First of all, quick hat tip to our buddy Joe Beninati. Who knows me very well? He knows that I wouldn't get Carberry's name correct. I would just say Carberry. And he knew that in advance and went ahead and sent us a pronunciation guide text message. It's like before I know you're going to mess up, so I'm going to preclude you messing up by helping you.
Preventative measure?
I feel that. Thank you very much for saying so. Highlight of the weekend, my friend. My son, my oldest, had this was our turn to host it. He's had a couple sleepovers, right, where he's slept over on the road a couple different times at a couple of these his buddies' houses.
How does he do on sleepovers? No calls?
Yeah.
I feel sick. Come get
my
me.
My tummy hurts at 2 in the morning. So far, has done great, which is really cool. We're excited about that, kind of post-pandems. I want that sort of thing. Socialize, go out there, be boys. Well, it's our turn to host it. Whew. Man. Taking care of those hyenas.
How many kids?
Three. Three total, including my son. Great kids. I mean, obviously, wonderful, amazing, very sweet boys, good manners, all the whole nine yards, great families. But, like, together, it's like 11:45 at night. Everyone's supposed to be asleep, and you hear, why am I hearing that? What's going on? What are you doing? And, like, the fourth time I went up there to check and be like, hey, guys, you know, I don't mind if you chat a little bit, but try to keep it down and try to keep the noise level down. By the fourth time, I think everyone was naked at one point or something. Like, and they were scurrying around. I mean, who knows what kind of level of grab-assery they were playing. But I think I went to bed at like 12:30, woke up at like 5:45 to go play on their individual devices, like downstairs. The best part of my weekend, with all due respect to them, was when the sleepover was over. I didn't have to supervise anybody but my own kids. And we just had a calm Monday.
I like those three-day weekends.
Yeah.
I could get used to those.
Uh-huh.
A couple more of those would be nice.
That's about right.
Saturday, we did the Leesburg Animal Park. Have you ever been out there?
Mm-mm.
It's awesome. Kids rode horses. You can feed and pet a bunch of different animals. Really good time. Sunday, we did a cookout at my parents' house back in King George. That was a good time getting around Nene and Pop-Pop and hanging out. Yesterday, though, we went and saw Little Mermaid. My daughter has been waiting to see Little Mermaid for months.
Yeah.
Okay? Since the trailer came out and I originally showed it to her, and this is just a mistake that I routinely make as a father where to get her excited, I'll show her things in advance, but then kids have no ability to measure time.
Yes.
So from the day she saw the trailer months ago, every single day has been, is today the day
today the day.
Go see it? So we had tickets for yesterday on the Memorial Day holiday to go to the movie theater over in Kingstown in Alexandria and go see Little Mermaid. About 2 hours before we leave, I get a text from a friend of mine who had just gotten out of the movie. And this is a grown person without kids. This is a younger adult. And they said, the movie's going to be petrifying for your kids, basically. I don't know if you could take your kids to this movie. They were giving me a fair warning. And so I was all of a sudden super nervous. The kids are napping. I'm saying to my wife, do we somehow say the theater isn't open? Or like, what do we do? She's like, we'll just go, and worst case, we have to leave. They ended up loving it. My son fell asleep for half the movie.
Yeah.
He didn't nap, whatever. But for my daughter, who wanted to see the movie, it was her favorite movie experience. We share this bond and this love of movies. So I'll take her all the time. We'll get popcorn and Skittles, and she'll sit there, and she's great in the theater. But she loved it. And the scary parts, like this shark is chasing people, and the evil lady that we're supposed to be worried about.
Ursula.
Ursula is very much scary. My daughter is looking at me like, "Dad, it's Ursula. Don't worry. We'll get her in the end." Like, she knew the whole story, and everything was fine.
Wow.
But that was the highlight, man. It was just my daughter kind of sitting on my lap at the movie theater, like turning around, smiling a bunch as the movie just like was everything she wanted.
Well, so speaking of that sort of like unit of time thing, this is interesting to me and probably nobody else. So, but, you know, great job over here that I'm doing.
Just can't do it.
Well, my oldest has focused on, we were going to make a trip, he and I, to Dick's Sporting Goods once, you know, the sleepover was over. So we agreed to do this like 10 days ago. He asked me about this. Very simple. We're just going to get some new cleats and maybe like a baseball bag for my youngest to, you know, to have for camp this summer. Just a very routine trip to Dick's Sporting Goods. Something that you and I would take for granted. It's just something that you do in the middle of an afternoon. He asked about that trip no fewer than 31 times over the course of the day. And I'm like, yep, still going. Still planning on it, buddy. Like, still going to do it. Asked me then about like potentially eating in the mall afterwards. Like this was the biggest event in the history of his life. He had all sorts of events in between. Like a school dance happened. He had a sleepover, multiple sporting events. We like did a big trip up to see family. He asked me about going to Dick's Sporting Goods 31 different times to get a new $25 pair of cleats. The weirdest thing to me. But that's the thing with kids, is like they cannot mark the time.
No, they get locked in. The Capitals have locked in on a new coach. I'm very, very happy about this. Spencer Carberry is going to be the new head coach here in Washington. If you're not familiar, he comes over from the Toronto Maple Leafs, where he was in charge of their power play. They had the number two power play in the National Hockey League this year. The reason that I've really liked him as a candidate, and I think the reason that the Capitals zeroed in on him from day one, is that Carberry was the head coach in Hershey and had a lot of success with the Hershey Bears and has been in this organization with his hands and fingerprints all over the development of some of their young players. If you look at some of the guys that are really significant and important to the Capitals now, Danny, moving forward in the years ahead, some of the best success they've had as professionals came under Spencer Carberry when he was the head coach with the Bears, including Connor McMichael, who played in 33 games with the Bears under Carberry in 2021 during the pandemic, and he had 14 goals and 13 points. Assists, rather, and 27 points in those 33 games. So I like this for two reasons. I think if he had never been in the organization and he never coached at Hershey, this is the type of coach you're looking for. You could go the way of the former champion retread type of a Peter Laviolette again if you wanted to. They just did that, right? They did that the time before with Barry Trotz as well, obviously with more success. He won a Stanley Cup. But with a now younger roster, and certainly in the future, they're going to continue to be building, and they're going to continue to get younger. I wanted to pair as a fit with this rebuilding organization an ascending up-and-coming coach. Didn't have to be a first-timer, but ideally someone who is a teacher, someone who is a motivator, someone who's not just a pelts-on-the-wall, authoritative voice, bench boss who stands with his arms behind his back, and because you watched him on TV for years, you respect him, you know, but a guy who can really develop. And I think that is what they've done with Spencer Carberry. So I love the hire for the Capitals as they bring him home.
So the most important thing to me is this was not another Adam Oates or Todd Reirden, a guy where they thought they were smarter than everybody else and identified like the next rock star who wasn't, and they squandered prime years of Alex Ovechkin and Backstrom and company. You know more than I do. It sounds to me like that's not this case, even though he doesn't have that, as you said, 20 years of bench bossing where he's, you know, just chewing on gum and barely paying attention to anybody. It sounds like he's a little bit more hands-on. He's kind of come up through the ranks, former player, obviously in his own right. So to me, the next year or two is about how do you get Evgeny Kuznetsov to give a damn? What can you get out of Nicholas Backstrom? What can you get out of, Tom Wilson obviously coming off the injury, but hopefully he's back to full strength. Can TJ Oshie stay healthy? The highly paid guys have to be really, really good for these next couple years. As you transition from that to what you're talking about, get you someone who could do both. And it sounds like this may be the right fit for that.
Couple of years in the NHL on the bench, I think prepared him for this job really mm-hmm. well. But it really why I'm excited is going back before that to 2021 when he led the Bears to the regular season championship of sorts. They had more points. I think they call it the McGregor Kilpatrick Trophy in 2021. But that year he was the Memorial Award winner, the Pierre Memorial Award for the Coach of the Year, basically. So the best coach in the minors in their org with a lot of the guys he's going to be coaching with the Caps. Then you go to Toronto. You have success there on the power play. So he's checked every box. And to your point, he was the hot commodity in this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
There are other guys I'm sure that other teams want. But he was interviewing with and talking to a handful of teams. We're going to ask EJ Raddick about this. If you're a big hockey fan, if you're a big Caps fan, that's going to be must-listen. You're going to want to be by your radios at 6 o'clock when Raddick of NHL Network joins us. But Carberry had a long list of teams he was talking to. So I wonder, Danny,
mm-hmm.
Did some of those teams find other fits? Did you know, like the Rangers as an example, it looks like could go get Peter Laviolette. There's some other teams in the mix. Did the Capitals work quicker? Did those pre-existing relationships with Leonsis and other people in the organization matter more? Or does he view it as a place where he can come win a cup? Like, that's really interesting to me.
Me too.
Because I think you could look at this one of two different ways. Like, you could look at this job and say, man, what a risk by him.
Uh-huh.
You're coming to Washington after years of success for the first time in forever and the second time in about 15 years this team didn't make the playoffs this year. Why are you buying in now? Ovechkin chasing Gretzky is kind of the number one priority, and they've got aging players like Nicholas Backstrom and some contracts they'd like to get out of. Evgeny Kuznetsov coming off a disappointing season. Is this really a great job if you're a wanted man? I think you could view it that way, and that's fair, and I know you're kind of more along those lines. Whereas I'm on a different side of this, where I look at this team and I say, I think this is a playoff team this coming year. I think they've got a lot of young talent, and what they did last year at the deadline was brilliant. I think they're going to only be getting hopefully healthier and a little faster, and I think they're going to be in the postseason this season. And as you just saw in the playoffs, with Florida knocking off the best team ever in the regular season, Boston, uh-huh. and then the second-best team in the East, Carolina, all you got to do is get there. So if you're Carberry, I'm linking up with one of the greatest scorers ever, a perennial playoff team. Now we got to navigate the postseason and get a little puck luck, and I could be in an Eastern Conference final next season in my first year.
Yeah, hockey, I am a get in no matter what, and then we'll see what happens. I'm not that way in the other sports, but we've got enough of these samples, right? And I know the Miami Heat going to the finals as an 8 seed, a team that was trailing in their second play-in game, by the way, after Atlanta beat the brakes off them, Chicago was beating them into the second half, and they found a way to kind of come back, and now, again, they're going to the NBA Finals. But in general, in hockey, I'm a let's see how healthy we are in the tournament, and if our goalie's hot, we get a bounce off a thigh in a game three that we're already losing the series 2-0 to Columbus, then march to the Stanley Cup Finals. So to me, this is a – well, let me say it this way. When the Commanders make a signing, day one of free agency, I'm going, I bet he had no other options. That's not great. I'm skeptical. See Andrew Wiley, see Nick Gates, whatever, right? When the Caps pounce, how many times have they had a guy that nobody else wants, a Brett Connolly, a Dylan Strome, that shouldn't be available? They go, yep, we'll take that, and that guy outperforms his previous record. The Caps are a good organization. You know what I mean? This past year was frustrating for a lot of people, but it's your first blip in basically a decade and a half. Pretty damned impressive, right? The way they've gone about their business. This is still a want-to kind of place. This is still a desirable destination, even with maybe the baggage of this past year.
I agree, but in the same way that when a player has a down year when they're 38 years old or something like that, you don't say, oh, they had an off year. You go, is this the beginning?
Is this
the
beginning? It's a fair question.
With some of their age and the fact that we keep saying the window's going to close, the window's going to close, the window's not open as much as it was, the window's closing, the window's going to close. You know, this year they missed the playoffs. I think it is very fair and reasonable for people to look at this team from the outside in and say, that was the first year of whatever regression is coming and where now the window is closed. Now, I happen to not subscribe to that. I just have a different axiom and philosophy and paradigm altogether with hockey. And also, I just trust this group a lot. I know that you can't keep TJ Oshie healthy for 82, but when he's on the ice, he's really good. I think there is still either one of two options with Kuznetsov. I would trade him and recoup as much back as you possibly can. I don't think they're going to, but regardless, I think there's more in the tank there than what he showed this past season. He could still bounce back. Ovechkin's going to score 40-plus goals. Hopefully, and I hate to say it this way, I mean, maybe Nicholas Backstrom retires this offseason. I think that would free them up financially and would really change the game for them. if he comes back, I think your road forward's a little more difficult. But it doesn't mean you can't be the 7 or 8 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with your goaltending, and at times last year, Lindgren was outstanding. At times, their A goaltender, Darcy Kemper, was phenomenal. I think you can win a series and go on a little bit of a run here and get back into the ECF mix. And it's been a while. I mean, they got bounced in the first round three straight years. 19, you know, really post-Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Every year it was they got eliminated, they got run, and until this year where they didn't make the playoffs at all. So they got to sort that out, and the guy to do it is going to be Spencer Carberry. More on him in the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock with Ben Raby and at 6 o'clock with EJ Raddick of NHL Network. You mentioned the Heat, so real quick, kudos to Miami. What a series this was.
Yes.
I mean, at 10, 12 different junctures, none of this made sense, right? Miami goes up 3-0 on Boston. How does that happen? Boston comes back and ties the series 3-3 and did so in unbelievable fashion on Saturday night with a tip-in on a miss, quite literally a tenth of a second ahead of the red light showing up on the backboard. Evens the series at 3-3. I think the craziest thing in the whole series is that the Heat, after losing three straight, banged up Jimmy Butler, go back on the road after that exasperating loss at the end of Game 6 in one of the most hostile road environments to play in all of basketball, with the crowd on absolute fire in Boston. And then they win Game 7. And they do it going away by 19 points in a game that after the third quarter, on a 5-point swing,
yep.
Jason Tatum missed layup, 3-pointer on the other end to open the fourth quarter. 18-point game at that point was basically over right then and there. And I know that the Tatum injury at the start of the game is how this happened. If you watched the game, you saw Tatum was limping around, liability on defense.
Yeah.
I thought they should have pulled him. It would have had a better chance. Not a knock on Tatum. He was doing everything he could to play hurt. But a 19-point win for the Heat, Danny, when all the momentum was Boston's and they were home. I couldn't believe it last night.
I love sports for a million reasons. One is I admire quality that I frankly didn't have as an athlete. And that's a level of fortitude and resilience where it becomes cultural. It's not just lip service. It's not just something you say. It's not a soundbite right after a game. We were basically setting up a fairy tale story where Derek White's incredible play, where he inbounded the basketball. This is game 6 now. He inbounds the basketball, pops to the corner to be a receiver for a catch-and-shoot pass opportunity, realizes that Marcus Smart is going to shoot it, beats Max Strus to the spot for a tip-in. The most winning of basketball plays possible, right there by Derek White. An amazing effort for the guy that's probably the 4th, 5th, maybe 6th best player on that team. He was great in that game. He was going to write himself into the annals of history along with, that's a steal by Bird, he passed underneath the DJ and he lays it in. Pandemonium. We were going to talk about that play like we talk about Jordan's shot over Elo, like we talk about that Bird steal. This was going to be one of the all-time playoff moments. Robert Horry knocking down a three. If Boston goes to the finals, coming back from 3-0 because of Derek White's miracle tip-in. All the momentum, all the story is there. Miami mustered their best thing. Jimmy Butler ain't himself. He stopped basically trying to do normal offense and just barreled in the defenders to try to draw fouls and went to the line 14 times. It was the only way Miami could score at various points, and they still had the game in the balance. The resilience and fortitude to come back, as you said, into the most hostile environment possible. That place was ready to explode in Boston. If they'd gotten off to a hot start, I can't even imagine how crazy that arena would have been. And Miami shut them up from the first minute. Just a couple different runs later, it didn't matter. The Heat were the better team and they deserved it. What an unbelievable performance. None of this made sense, as you said, to be up 3-0 and now you're tied 3-3 on the road as the underdog. And here it is, you're going to the NBA Finals after that performance. I love it.
It was amazing. I do think the Tatum injury colors the whole thing. You know, you almost feel bad that we didn't get to see an authentic, legitimate Game 7 with Boston and Miami and Tatum and Butler going back and forth. But the Heat, the 8 seed, all the way to the finals to take on a Denver Nuggets team that has never been there before and will now be the heavy favorite. Rested, the Heat having some of their own issues injury-wise to deal with. I believe Tyler Hero is going to be back for the finals. He's been cleared to start working out anyway. Butler was limping around in Game 7, though, so we'll have to see what Nikola Jokic and Denver are going to face in terms of Miami's rotation.
Tiny note, one quarter of all NBA finals in the history of the NBA have featured Pat Riley as either a coach, a general manager, or a team president.
Say that again.
25% of all the NBA finals that we've ever had had basically had Pat Riley, his hand on it.
I guess it makes sense. Yep. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that high, but one of the most influential people in basketball of my lifetime, clearly. I want to do this next. Let's start the show here, and we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. I always like when we can incorporate as many teams as possible, kind of have a big tent that everyone can get under here. So the Capitals today hire a new coach, Spencer Carberry. The Wizards last week hired a new team president, Michael Winger. The Commanders are soon going to have a new owner, Josh Harris. And the fourth team, the Nationals, are rebuilding, and I think the rebuild is going very well for them. Rank the four DC sports teams, 1 to 4, Danny, most to least likely to win this city its next championship. I want to do that with you next. And for you guys, I want you to just give us team number one and team number four. Who is the most likely team to win DC its next title of the big four? Caps, Wiz, Nats, Commanders. And who is the least likely? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. G&D with you on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the show. In 30 minutes at 3 o'clock, a new John Madden movie is going to be made. Wait till you hear who's playing Madden. And what sports biopic do we want made? We'll get into that coming up in about a half hour. I have not told the fellas this yet, Danny.
Oh.
But show announcement here for Darius and for Ryan.
Whoa.
Today at 5 o'clock, in honor of tonight's start to the annual Scripps Spelling Bee, Darius Dameron versus Ryan Clary, head-to-head. In the first annual Grant and Danny DC Sports Spelling Bee.
Oh my gosh. First of all, wow. Second of all, thank you for not making me a contestant.
So I thought about making you a contestant, and then I decided, with all due respect to you, it's going to be better if you're not involved.
I 100% agree.
You're
going to
take
agree.
It too seriously.
Everyone agrees.
Seriously enough. You're not going to. They won't be
threatened. The vibe is wrong. Yeah. Just thank you. I wouldn't know what to do.
So Darius versus Ryan. They've had some hotly contested battles in the past.
Stadium names.
I'm going to go over some of the names that I've come up with and some of the things that I have with you in breaks.
Okay, yeah.
We'll prepare. You and I will coast the endeavor.
Very well.
But the way that I think this will work, and people can shoot us ideas if they want to, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny is how you can tweet us. You can suggest to us, not necessarily things to have them spell because I don't want them to see them, but how you think the scoring can work. What I'm thinking is almost like playing basketball. We're going to play to 11 by ones, except that there's strategy. So there's three categories, a one-point word, a two-point word, or a three-point word. So you could just kind of take your layups and get hit your bunnies, and you could try to get those one-point words, or you could go big or go home
Ooh.
With the three-point words. and try to get yourself a little lead.
So in theory, it's like make it, take it then, right? So Darius takes three threes and a two, and he wins.
I think we go back and forth, spelling bee style.
Okay, no matter what?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll do make it, take it. But what do you think about the idea of the three categories of like varying degree of difficulty, and you have to strategize a little bit? And we could decide if it's play until 11 or to 14 or
whatever
it is. I like it a lot.
I like this. I like the whole concept.
All right, so 5 o'clock tonight, the first annual. We've done this in the past, but we're going to call it first annual because we've never done Darius versus Ryan.
Right.
We just, years ago, you and I used to spell things on Spelling Bee Day.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't as fun.
No, not as fun.
But you know that I love the Spelling Bee.
You love it so much.
It's my favorite thing, man. I'll watch it for 2 hours tonight.
You know, I'm trying to think of the kind of smile that Darius has on his face right now. It's one of those like.
Cheshire Cat?
No. It's a, oh, really? Okay. kind of smile. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't think he's confident?
So today we're doing that. All right. It's like that kind of smile.
All right. So I need two things from you guys, though. Number one, to be played well before 5 o'clock, I need you to record your promos that you're cutting toward the other one. Your SummerSlam promo where you're talking trash about how you're going to win. Okay. So we'll play those. We'll see who has a better promo. And the other thing we need is your walkout songs. You're going to have to be introduced with a walkout song. So we'll need to know at 5 o'clock. As you come down to the ring, what your walkout song is going to be. But make sure you're listening at 5 today for that spelling bee. And if you have an idea for something we could put into the spelling bee, it's got to be DC sports themed, a word that might be difficult to spell. You can send me an Instagram message because they can't see that. DM me.
There we go.
Grant H. Paulson on Instagram, and I'll try to work some of those in to the flow of things. But there you go. So that's the big surprise for our producers behind the scenes. Are you locked and loaded and ready to go for tomorrow night? At 4:45.
The boys.
Or 5 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
When the fellas, this is me, this is you, this is Darius, this is Ryan, little rating celly, we are headed over to Yardbird in the district.
Can't wait!
To eat everything that they got.
Bart Scott style. I am going to have a huge breakfast. Huge. Then, I'm going to starve myself for the rest of the day. I'm going to be cranky and irritating to be around at the... With the idea that it's a cost-benefit so I can eat so much food.
My concern was I made the reservation too early. But the Nats play, like they always do, a getaway day in the middle of the week.
Yep.
So we're off at like 3:30. And I was thinking, man, 4:45 is just too early. I don't know why Danny wants to do this early dinner bit. But I think what you've done is you've already done all the math to basically, you're going to be starving by then. And you're going to starve yourself all day. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, because I'm normally hungry for dinner starting about 3:15, 3:30. Like I'm now thinking about dinner. It's like, well, come on, man. How do we get through this until I can eat as much food as I possibly can? And that's on a normal day.
Yes.
So now I'm going to go the extra mile, and I'm going to have one. And you're like, one of what? All of it.
Remember
of everything.
Remember the movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood?
Yes.
This is a movie starring like John Candy or Chris Farley or something called There Will Be Chicken Biscuits. There Will Be Fried Foods. It's going to be a good time for everybody involved tomorrow, so looking forward to that. All right, without further ado, though, the question has been posed. The phone lines are wide open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 for you guys on Grant and Danny right now. The Caps today hiring Spencer Carberry as their new coach. The Wizards last week, new president, Michael Winger. The Commanders the week before that, new owner, Josh Harris. And the Nats are in the middle of a rebuild that seems to be going well. Danny, I want you to rank the four DC sports clubs in the major sports 1 to 4 in the likeliness of who's going to win the next championship. You and I can go back and forth here.
Number one is the Nationals. They've got a track record of doing it this way, finding pieces, developing them, bringing a nice core, and supplementing. I know the Learners have a rep, and the last couple of years haven't been great in terms of them spending money, but I think when it comes time, whoever the next owner is, or this group again, will open up the pocketbook with a bunch of deferred money, but they'll find that next couple stars that helps them go over the top.
All right, I'm going to argue against your number one, and then you do the same for mine.
Yeah.
My argument against the Nationals, they're number two on my list for the record, so I don't hate that. I think their rebuild's actually going really well. They just promoted James Wood to Double-A over the weekend. He is now only a phone call away, really, from being in the major leagues. A lot has gone right for them this season, including the development of Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore, who had 11 strikeouts and 7 innings on Sunday. You've still got owners that don't spend any money. You have a problem trying to sell this team, right? I mean, one of two things has to happen for them to win again. The Learners have to start spending in free agency and decide that they are just recommitting. No sign of that at this point. Or they have to sell the team, which I don't want to say feels like an impossibility, but it feels like an improbability until the Mastin dispute is worked out.
And that's just right around the corner, I'm sure.
That just seems like it's going to go on in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
So now where are we? That's the argument, I guess, against the Nationals for me. Otherwise, it's timeline. Even though everything's gone well, all your prospects aren't going to pan out seamlessly. You're going to deal with injuries along the way. Best case scenario, like absolutely everything goes right, best case scenario, they make the playoffs for the first time 2 years from now. You're probably not just going on a magical carpet ride in that first year. So we're talking about maybe 3 seasons from now that they're able to go on a playoff run in like 2026. You're saying no one's going to be able to win before then, essentially.
That's right.
Okay. My number one team is the Capitals, and I've got the Nationals second right behind them. Here's my argument for the Capitals. It really revolves around just the insanity of hockey in the playoffs. If you make the playoffs and you get good goaltending, you can win in the postseason. Look at what Florida did in eliminating Boston in round one and Carolina here recently. It can be done. You just have to get there and get the bounces that the Caps got on their way to the 18 Stanley Cup. Kemper, who's a cup champion goaltender, has proven he is good enough to take you to the promised land. You've still got the greatest goal scorer on the planet in Alex Ovechkin, who's a top five guy offensively still, I would say, in the sport, putting the puck in the back of the net right now. They've got some ascending young talent and reloaded last year. The Capitals, to me, will make the playoffs in each of the next couple of years, and if they do, one of those 2 seasons before the Nats are ready a few years from now, they could go on the run.
I don't think that they're better than the 11 teams that had a better record than they did this coming season. The idea that Nicklas Backstrom or T.J. Oshie will all of a sudden be healthy and be able to contribute for extended periods of time, someone can figure out how to motivate Evgeny Kuznetsov to give a damn and be good on a nightly basis. The amount of money at the top of their roster for old or oft-injured players or guys that underperform governs everything. I don't care who the coach is. I'm excited about some of the young players. I wish they actually got more time over these last couple of seasons. This, to me, their ceiling is getting blown out in the first round again. And I don't think Ted Leonsis quite understands how to do it from scratch. I think he got lucky one time when the record was great and they ended up drafting Ovechkin. I don't think he has the patience for a full-on rebuild. I don't think he'll allow it. I think he thinks of things the way he thinks of the Wizards. And I don't see a great window here. I see this as an Ovechkin goal-scoring record chase, which is well worth my time and interest. I'm excited about that. I don't see a lot of playoff success over the next couple seasons for them.
They basically were the Penguins and the Islanders before they punted and sold, which I thought was really, really smart.
I did too.
So you look at it and you can say, well, they're behind the Red Wings and the Senators and the Sabres. And that's where they finished. But they did what they should have done.
No, you're right.
By kicking the ball basically as far as they could into the future to try to get assets and recoup some talent for this year. I think they're actually this past year more of like a 90 to a 94-point team, not the 80-point team that they ended up being after they started their sell-off with weeks left in the season. So you and I are flip-flopping the Caps and the Nats. I've got the Caps one, most likely to win the next title. You've got the Nationals. Coincidentally, by the way, or maybe not, the two teams that have actually won championships.
Yeah, these are our good children.
Over the decade. These are the ones that get the good grades.
Uh-huh.
That we're not getting calls from the cops to go pick up in the middle of the night. Do you have the Commanders or Wizards next? I've got the football outfit third, and then the Wizards pulling up the rear.
Yeah, I got football third. I think the Wizards are distant, and they have, a million miles to go. Somehow they have to find a superstar and then become a cool city for people to play in. I think they're eons away from that. Commanders, basically, with new ownership, if you find a quarterback, you could be in the conversation.
We want to hear from you guys. We will get to your calls on this next. The most and least likely teams to win the next DC Sports Championship, plus the Commanders just released a player, and I'm surprised by it. I think this is a surprising cut for the Commanders as they get ready for their mini camp this week. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At 4 o'clock today, your Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about, including a brand new head coach in D.C. for the Washington Capitals. Been a busy couple of weeks over at Monumental Sports. Welcome back, G&D on the Fan. Before we get to the phones, we're asking you guys to rank the most and least likely teams in D.C. sports to win the city its next championship. I went with the Caps is most likely, the Wizards is least likely. Danny went Nationals most likely, Wizards least likely. But before we get there, the news on the Commanders front, I mentioned surprising release. Cameron Dantzler, the highly drafted corner who came over from Minnesota after he was waived and Washington claimed. I think a lot of us kind of thought this was an opportunity for a reclamation where maybe he was going to turn into what he was supposed to be. He was drafted in the third round, 89th overall, just 3 years ago. And already two teams have now moved on from him, with the Vikings waiving him, Washington claimed him, and him now leaving the Burgundy and Gold as well. He's just 24 years old. I kind of thought he was going to play a bunch for them this season, but after they went out and they drafted two defensive backs, including Emmanuel Forbes in round one, both of those DBs in the top two rounds, sounds like maybe they've decided they don't need Cam Dantzler anymore.
Yeah, it was a move that is a low-risk insurance policy or a low-risk, potentially high-ceiling type thing. It made a lot of sense. Grab Cam Dantzler. If it doesn't work out, what have you lost? You know, a few minutes, basically, right? Not a ton of money. Doesn't really impact that many things.
Do you think they saw something in this limited amount of work where they go, and maybe this isn't what we think it is? Or do you think it's as simple as Forbes in round one and Quan Martin in round two?
That one. Okay. Honestly, I think they, you know, spent, frankly, too much on secondary this offseason with their draft capital, especially because they didn't cut Kendall Fuller. And maybe they still will, but they've got all these secondary bodies.
I'll say this, though. This makes me think there's a better chance for Fuller to make the team. In other words, if you know you're going to cut Kendall Fuller later on in the offseason, it would stand to reason that you'd probably want to keep Dantzler around, because then you'd have Forbes and Martin, who have no experience, to at least go along with St. Juste and Dantzler. But this is probably good news for Fuller in the grand scheme of things. Let's go to the phones. Chris is in Hyattsville. Chris, which team's most and least likely in town to win the next title?
Definitely the Washington Nationals.
Which one?
I mean, I think that, what's that?
They're the most likely or the least likely?
I think they're the most likely, because you hit the nail on the head, Grant. They have the formula. They've done it. They're doing it again. And I think, I know this season's results are a little bit early, but I think they're already ahead of schedule. And you've got a top two pick in the draft coming up. We know baseball draft picks are less predictable than basketball or other sports, but still, it's a golden opportunity, and it's pretty much exactly the same opportunity they had at the beginning of the 2010s when they had top draft pick after top draft pick. So I also think that the talent pool that they have right now is richer than it's really ever been in the Rizzo era. So as far as least likely, I definitely would say the Wizards, because the franchise has been through so many different variations and permutations and never, to Danny's point many, many times, never won 50 games.
It seems like, by the way, Chris,
conference finals.
Yeah, thank you for the call, buddy. It seems like that's the one thing we're all agreeing on. Just looking at the tweets and the responses, they're an easy punching bag right now. Michael Winger's got a lot of work to do.
Certainly does.
And they would be oddly probably closer if the first thing he did was now trade Beal and start over. But I think most of us think they're going to continue to walk down this path, and we all kind of know they don't yet, it doesn't seem like. This is a dead end. Let's go to Will and Stafford on G&D. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. I got to say, I agree with Danny 100%. I think having the Capitals as number one is highly overrated. I think a lot of their young prospects haven't panned out like they thought they would, especially Connor McMichael. I think Kuzi's got a lot of semen in him right now. and Backstrom is handcuffing this team. Carlson and Oshie are on the downslope of their careers. Basically, we're going to look forward to Ovechkin breaking Gretzky's record, but I think they've got a long way to go. Also, the Nats farm system isn't as stocked, I think, as people think. James Wood's good, but you've got to look at the ownership and the farm system for that team as well. I think they're going to have problems attracting big free agents to this market over the next couple of years. I think the Commanders have the best shot. Get a good coach in here, a shot in the arm with this ownership group. And if you can hit on a quarterback, I'm telling you, I put the Commanders number one. I'm sorry, but I just don't see it with the Caps and the Nationals. I love both teams.
You're a fan. We get it.
But I think both farm systems, you got to look at farm systems when they're in place with a team like that. And I think the Nats farm system, while it's better, it's run of the mill, especially.
I'd say it's middle of the pack is fine in terms of depth. It's top 10 in terms of high-end talent, though, because they're going to be picking second overall again this year. They're either going to get Dylan Cruz or Paul Skeens, who's going to be a top five prospect in baseball right away, to go along with James Wood, who's going to be a top five prospect next year as well. They're going to have two of the top 5, 7, 10, something like that, guys in baseball. Pretty unheard of. So you're going to add that to Gore and to Gray. I've always been worried about Elijah Green and his strikeouts and the ceiling, but the potential for like an MVP-type player is there. Brady House has had a decent little bounce back this year. Not dominating by any means, but there's a lot of talent in the organization that's high-end, even though they don't have the complete depth that you might want. And it sounds like I'm just a little bit higher on some of the young Caps. His point about the system is true. McMichael has regressed. There are some guys that have disappointed. But last year, they re-upped with Strom. They re-upped with TVR defensively. They've got Farivarvi and Sandin. Offensively, they've got Milano and Protas and NAK, all of whom they brought in here. So they actually did a really good job. It's not high-end superstar talent, but I thought adding enough youth that you're basically Backstrom retires away from having the money you need to go get really good again, or Kuznetsov being traded and recouping away from being in a really good spot. That's where I'm at on the cap.
No, it makes sense. There's a couple maneuvers, but one of those dominoes has to fall.
John Madden. A biopic? Sign me up for that. Who's playing him? I think you're going to be interested in that. And what sports biopics do you want to see next on Grant and Danny on The Fan?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.